Coming up, we're going to talk about how to deal with insecure people in the office, in your team, coworkers, and interesting new data about the performance review. It's changing and how to handle that. Let's go. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we're dedicated to helping you grow personally so that you can now advance professionally. And then as you're advancing, you're going to have to lead. They want to help you lead effectively. So here's the question. Is an insecure teammate or employee sucking the energy out of you? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? They are just drawing so much of your energy because you're having to deal with the fallout, the actions based on their emotions of insecurity. So if that's you, lean into this today. People struggling with insecurity are only simply dealing with a lack of certainty. That's it. And by the way, we all deal with it. I have mine, you have yours. They come, they go, they intensify. But it is a lack of certainty. It's a lack of certainty. Understand that. It's not anything bigger than that. It is that simple. So you've got to go, you've got to get to a place of understanding, right? Because if you can just get it, go, okay, I know how they're, oh, this is insecurity, blah, 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 blah. Listen, there's something they're not certain about, and it's really affecting them. So what is happening? Now, this insecurity is leading them to have an attitude of inferiority. So the lack of certainty is leading to a feeling of inferiority, helplessness, shame, and ultimately negativity. Good grief. How can you not be negative when you're feeling those things? And so those emotions turn into attitudes, and it makes it difficult to work with, especially if you're in an environment where that person who is struggling with insecurity is in a collaborative situation where we kind of got to coexist. They're not like over here in the cube just doing their thing and turning in their TPS reports. There has to be activity and connectivity. And so, as I said before, I deal with insecurity, you deal with insecurity, different seasons, different reasons, right? But the ultimate source is a lack of certainty. But what we do when we're working with someone, or how we respond to someone that we're working with or leading who is deeply insecure, and it's in the point of deeply insecure is we see it. It's outwardly leaking out, if you will, and they're really, really struggling. It's important to know how to do this. So let's walk through a solution on this. Now, I believe that you can improve on this situation. I really believe you can help somebody who's dealing with insecurity. But I think you have to be intentional in two specific areas. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is you've got to get to the root of their uncertainty. And you've got to do it without embarrassing or offending them. Now, let's pause right there. Did you catch that? We have got to dig. I use the word root very specifically today because everybody's insecurity is different and it's gnarled up like roots. I don't know if you've got any old trees in your yard or if you've been to a park recently. I want you to think back to the last time you saw some roots exposed in a big old tree. Well, they're not just beautifully symmetrical. They're gnarled. If I could maybe borrow the idea of a knuckle on them, so then maybe the roots like this, and then boom, and they're all over the place, and sometimes the roots are interconnected, and it's a bit of a mess. I don't know if you've recently pulled up some bushes. We had a deep freeze here last year in Middle Tennessee, and as a result, some of my bushes died, and I got my son out last spring as we were coming out of the freeze, and we began the process of pulling up some really large bushes, and I had the pickaxe out. He was taking turns. We were digging, and we think we'd get a little bit of a movement. We thought, oh, we can pull it out now. And we'd pull, and all of a sudden, there's one root over here. That's what I want you to understand right now if you are dealing with a teammate or an employee. And so we got to get to the roots. And it's going to take some digging. And it might be less of a dig with someone else, a deeper dig with someone over here. I want you to understand that. Now, we've got to do it with sensitivity. We don't want to embarrass them, and we don't want to offend them. So how do we avoid the embarrassing part? This needs to be private. Very sensitive and very private to dig a little bit. And in the digging, never make it about something that in some way something's wrong with them. There needs to be tremendous empathy here. They go, hey, I get it. I deal with this. All right. And so that's going to allow you to build trust if I'm not embarrassing or offending. So you're asking questions. That's how we dig. We're asking questions to figure out what's going on underneath the surface that is making them watch uncertain. So all of this digging and asking questions is to get them to a point where they reveal to you what they are uncertain about. This is a game changer. Teammate or leader. Remember, this is either a coworker or someone you're leading. All right, so once we get to this point, now we've got not just, by the way, not just awareness for ourselves, but they have awareness. Maybe they've not said it this way before. Maybe they've never said, I am uncertain about blank. And so when we get to this moment, now they're certain of what they're uncertain about. You getting this? They're certain, okay, my insecurity is a result of I'm uncertain about this. And now I have awareness, so what do we got to do? Number two, help build certainty. I know, right? Brain stuff, right? No, it's really true. You've got to get to the point where they go, all right, you're uncertain about this, so it might be just as simple as they're not certain that they're properly trained. Now, in this situation, you as a leader can control that variable. As their coworker, you can't control that variable. Maybe be supportive and go, hey, I'll help you a little bit here. I can't ultimately do or approve the training, but I can help. And so let me lay out a couple things that you can try, okay? Just a couple things that you can try. And we're going to start with you encourage them. You encourage them. You get to the point where you say, look, as your peer, I'm going to show you the ropes and I'm going to help you and I believe in you. You got this. Okay. Now, as their leader, you got to step in here and give them the training. You got to step in and go, all right, it's on me, first of all. It's not on you. Like, let's take away the guilt and shame. Okay, in this example. And if you can address it as the leader, you must address it as the leader. And your whole goal here is help them feel certain. If they feel certain, then we are on our way. Now, let's talk about what happens if we do all that. As a leader, and a coworker, we get to the heart of what they're uncertain about. We do the supportive, the instructive activities that we just talked about, and it's not there, then you're going to have to make some tough decisions. As the coworker, you're going to have to put up some boundaries because you don't have the authority to fire them and say, hey, maybe you should move on. Now, this is after we've helped, okay? And we've done what we can do. At this point, that insecure person is going to spit off so much negativity that it will affect you. So as a coworker and teammate, you're going to have to put up boundaries. As the leader, you're going to have some hard conversations and go, look, we identified the uncertainty. We gave you the training. We've given you the moral support. We're limited here. Maybe we can help with therapy, or we can if we can't help financially with therapy, we recommend it. But at some point, leaders, if that person is not taking the support and getting better, then you're going to have to decide, are they now pulling the team down and we're going to have to part ways? But why does this matter? Because as a leader, your job is to promote security, the confidence that comes with being certain. In my role, what my expectations are, and that's going to grow a winning team, a confident team. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? And I think the world has been unfairly built towards the extroverts. And I'm an extrovert, so I can say that, right? And an extroverted world can be energy sapping for an introvert. And we all have different batteries, if you will, social batteries. And it's okay. There's no right. There's no wrong. But this is important. Your social battery needs to stay at a healthy level or else you get burned out. And you get burned out, that affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and it can really affect you and your professional growth. So it's important that you know what your social battery is and then how to recharge if a lot of the work activities you do drain you. I want you to think about starting therapy with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is flexible to fit into your schedule because it's completely online. It's super easy to get started with just a short questionnaire that then matches you with a licensed therapist. This is my favorite part. They allow you to switch therapists at any time for no extra cost because you got to find your person. So I want you to find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ken today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ken. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Quick reminder, if you're enjoying the show, will you help us grow? You can do that if you are watching via YouTube by liking, commenting, and subscribing. And then if you're listening via your favorite podcast app, you can do that by giving us a 5-star review and a follow as well. Okay, the performance review is dying. This headline came across the desk. Alex and crew put this in front of me, and it definitely got my attention. And I think it speaks to what we were talking about in the first segment, which is certainty is huge. Okay. Every person wants to know where they stand. It goes back to elementary school. I've said this time and time again, do you like me on that little note? Yes, no, or maybe. Maybe was probably the worst response. If it was a yes, we're celebrating. We feel loved. If it was a no, we feel rejected, but guess what we do? We move on to the next little girl, two rows over, right? That was me. All right, well, Susie doesn't like me. Maybe Sally does. At least I know where I stand. The maybe, oh, it's agonizing. I can't move on. I can't move on to Sally. I need closure with Susie. I think this is really true. I think this is true of our psychology. We as humans need to know where we stand in any area of life. If you're up for a raise and the review and the boss kicks it down the road, oh, it's agony, right? I don't know where I stand. Am I going to get the raise or am I not? We just constantly need to know where we stand. You know this. And so that is coming from a desire for certainty. And so we talked about in the first segment that as a leader, and as a coworker, we each have roles in helping our teammates and the people we lead be certain when they're not certain, if they're dealing with insecurity. It's like, can we help them with certainty? My goodness, I think maybe the core role of a parent is, you know, there's only so much we can be certain about in life and helping our kids understand that and navigate that. As they grow and their identities are forming and all of the new changes in life from every season, right? From being a toddler to preschool to kindergarten to then middle school and high school and into college and out in the real world. It's navigating uncertainty. I mean, it's a huge deal. And so to this end, leaders are starting to wake up. And I think this is a good leadership development. So this is from the Wall Street Journal. Okay. And the headline reads, "The performance review is dying. Make way for a fire hose of feedback." So as it stands, the traditional model, and I'm not, when I say this, some of you are going, well, that's not how it is at my company. Great. But traditionally, feedback has been limited to an annual review. And I mean real feedback, like a 360, hey, we're going to see where you're at. And traditionally, this has been an annual review or no review at all. And thankfully, this antiquated way of communicating what is one of the most vital things that we as people need to know where we stand, this antiquated approach is, I think, headed to the ash heap of history. That's a good thing. So, from this article, companies are now starting to train employees on how to give feedback. So this is a good sign, but I hope that we're training leaders as well. This is not just on employees, this is for leaders. And so we're seeing this. Companies are training employees on how to give feedback to their peers, managers, and those that they are leading. And the wave here, according to this article, is real-time assessments are going to become much more relevant, thus the headline, make way for a fire hose of feedback. So it looks like we're going to go from a real shift of, I only get feedback on an annual basis, to I'm going to get feedback real-time. This is pretty fascinating stuff. There's a company cited in this Wall Street Journal article. It's a startup called Fountain. And this is really interesting. You ready for this? The company often hands out sticky notes in the middle of meetings that are involving two teams. So two teams are coming together to collaborate. And each group evaluates the other by scoring them from 1 to 10, 1 being suck, 10 being great, ranking how helpful the other team has been during the collaboration. This from Sean Baer, who's the chief executive of the company. Now, this is really key. There's a facilitator in the meeting that is not on either team. And the facilitator collects the sticky notes and then, which have the scores, the ratings, and then shares, and then the facilitator shares them aloud before leading a discussion about the team's overall effectiveness. So some of you are going, this isn't very effective. It really is. Because I've been in all-day meetings many times. We do this a lot at Ramsey. And it's an all-day meeting. We'll have one of our professionally trained facilitators leading the meeting, and they will lead us in the middle and on all the subjects in the room. We'll be bantering and beating up an idea, and that facilitator will listen and very quiet, and then all of a sudden, boom. Okay, here's what I'm seeing. You're saying this, this group's saying this, and it doesn't slow down the meeting. In fact, it makes it more effective, and that's what's happening in this example. Sean Baer, the chief executive of this company, Fountain, says, and I quote, it is a very eye-opening process. When you show the team fives versus eights, immediate changes happen in the meeting. After the sticky note break with the facilitator, the meeting agenda often shifts. Fantastic. By the way, there's no talk of tension here, because everybody, it's not like we're judging you. It's like, hey, here's what I think. So everybody goes, well, I don't want to be a five. I don't want to be a three. And so it now brings up challenges in the meeting and we can move forward. Now listen to this. This is an example. When Fountain's engineering and customer success team recently scored each other, the success team was rated, this is customer success, was rated an average of 6, while the engineers received a 4. Now, did the engineers get mad and offended? I don't know. Doesn't say. It doesn't seem like it. Because Baer said the success team, which works with the company's clients, said the engineers were neglecting to fix some small bugs in favor of more sweeping changes. Now, this is information. So they didn't rate him and say, you engineers suck. They said, you guys are focused on some big changes. And as the customer success people, we're on the front lines talking to the customer day in and day out. And based on what our customers are saying, hello, we think you guys need to be focused on some small bugs. Well, the engineer team said, whoa, all right. We're engineers. We want the next latest, greatest, big bells and whistles. But our customers are saying, we need this little bug fixed. So what happened? So the engineers came up with a plan to dedicate 5 days a month to nothing but smaller bug fixes. Are you keeping track at home? That's the answer. Who wins there? The customer and both teams. This was just basic communication and real-time feedback. Now, here's something interesting really quick. I want to hit this. Artificial intelligence is going to have a huge role in this feedback. Some of you are going, how? Well, there's a company by the name of Ferrazzi Greenlight. I interviewed Keith Ferrazzi years ago, Alex. And his tech company, he's working with tech companies and all companies with this AI software built into virtual meeting systems. And here's how it works. This is what he says. He goes, I want my video conferencing system to tell me at the end of the meeting, hey, Keith, you cut off Jane twice and you dominated the conversation to 70%. So this is how AI can go, hey, no opinion here. This is facts. Ken, you talk 70% of the time. You cut off Alex 10 times. Oh, man. That's really good feedback for me. And so that's how we're going to see real-time performance views. People are going to have to decide now, can you handle this constant critiquing? It's going to have to be some maturity. Now, you don't have to agree with everybody's critique, but Alex could give me some critique and I could go, I didn't agree with three things he said, but one of them hit me and thus I'm better. So it's not about chaos and being overwhelmed. It's building a muscle for feedback for everybody, kind of a 360 degree communication. I think this is a good thing. I really like that AI tool. I would implement it in my meetings right now because I think it would be a real eye opener. And feedback is always, always good. Great stuff there. Hey, I want you to stop right now and just listen to this. I want you to imagine life 4 months from now, but you're actually making a starting salary of $75,000. Bethel Tech has a front-end web development micro-credential that you can earn in just 15 weeks for only $5,000. Coding skills are in high demand right now, and you learn them in less than 4 months. So whether you want to level up your career and salary or you've always wanted to be in tech, you can get started on Bethel Tech's front-end web development micro-credential or a data science micro-credential, another hot field. Now's the time. Let's go. The next class starts April 29th, and the Bethel Tech folks offer you 10% off because you're a Ken Coleman Show listener. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman for details. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, how many of you out there right now are wondering, stewing, planning, brainstorming about your next professional step? You want to grow professionally, you want to advance, and you're just kind of in the season of what is it? And it's kind of terrifying, frustrating, exciting. It's a weird cocktail, and you just need some certainty. I've been there. I really have, and I was there in a big way. And I want to take my journey and what I learned, and I want to share it with you. I developed a 7-stage process that helped me, and now it's helped tens of thousands of other people. And I want you to join me for a free webinar. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. And we're going to dig in to that process and help you be able to implement that process for your professional growth. So we'll dive into the deep, deep details of how to put a mirror essentially in front of you. Self-awareness leads to an acceptance of your uniqueness, and then there's a boldness that comes from this. And I'm going to walk you through it. We'll also take your questions with Q&A, which is my favorite part. It's coming up Tuesday, March 19th, 11 Central, noon Eastern. Okay, Tuesday, March 19th, 11 Central, noon Eastern. And you can sign up by going to kencoleman.com/webinars. kencoleman.com/webinars. March 19th. If you think you've got a loved one, a friend, a coworker who needs it, pass it on. It's absolutely free. No strings attached. We'll see you there. All right, let's get to the phones. Joshua is joining us in Laredo, Texas. Joshua, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good morning, Ken. Thanks for taking my call and everything that you do.
Thank you, pal. What's going on?
So I am a totally permanent disabled veteran, but I can still work. I debate whether I should go to school, which is paid for since it's a benefit that I earn. Mm-hmm. And then other times I think about going into real estate, and other times I consider learning construction or project management, although I have no background on it. Okay. What would you recommend I should do?
Well, we need to just focus on direction, and we don't have to worry so much about specific destination. And so I heard three things. So we're going to dig in. I heard education, because it's paid for because of your heroic service. Thank you for your service and serving our country. You're a great American, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Then you said real estate, and then you said construction. So what stands out to me, Joshua, is that I hear two specific directions, real estate, construction, but I hear kind of a gray area with education. Now, maybe it's just the way you chose to tell me, but what would the education be for? Is there anything specific, or you're just kind of going, well, I get the GI Bill, and maybe I should go get more education?
It's in between both. Like, I was thinking about maybe engineering and construction or something like that, but I don't know nothing about what right. major or what I could go for.
Right. Okay. So what we got to do is we've got to look at these ideas that have popped in your head, and we want to run them through the methodology that I teach. Do I have the talent? I mean, is this an area of skill for me? Raw talent where I can, with training and with experience, turn this raw talent into a power tool, super effective. So do I have the talent? Second question is, do I enjoy this kind of work? Do I enjoy one or two of the roles that would be in these fields of construction, engineering, or real estate? And then the last piece is what we call mission, is the results that I could create as an engineer in construction, in real estate. Does that result hit my tuning fork? Does it give me the juice? Do I feel meaningful as a result of creating this result? Make sense?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So what sticks out to you? I want you to tell me what you're feeling when I walk you through that. As you think of those three directions, and maybe it's two and a half directions, but what pops in your mind? What are you thinking?
Construction. I've always thought about it would be really cool to build my own home and be able to put other families in their own homes.
Now we got something. Well, here's what I heard. That answer right there is squarely in passion and mission, yes?
Yes.
I enjoy the work of construction, and I care deeply about the result. I've always wanted to build a home for myself. I'd love the idea of building a home of dreams or starter home to get someone into home ownership. I love everything about it. I'd feel really good jumping in the truck and driving home at the end of the day. Yes?
Yes.
All right. So we got to talk about talent. Do you have the raw talent to pull off the general contractor role or some of the engineering, whether it be architecture? I mean, if you think about where you'd be in construction 15, 20 years from now, let's just idealize this. Let's just play it out. What would you be doing? What's the ideal in construction? Are you a GC?
I would like to be, like I said, I don't have background on it.
But I don't care. No. I know, but I'm saying, let's say I could fast forward your life right now just for fun. Fast forward. Paint the picture, Joshua. Really, really specific right now. Paint the picture 20 years from now.
I think I have a lot of homes under my belt already, with happy families in their own homes and a good home for me and my family.
I like that. What about the cash, baby? What about the money?
Free for sure. And then
there we go. Come on. I want the full picture, baby. I want the full picture. You're a millionaire with no debt, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not trying to put details into your picture for you, but I'm trying to put out some elements and go, what's that picture look like? Is that the picture?
Yes, that's a picture.
All right. So you've got the talent to be able to pull that off, yes?
Yes.
With the proper training and experience, you can get there, yes?
Yes.
All right, so the question is, will a degree, because the GI Bill applies to more than just a degree, just a traditional college experience, am I right?
Yes.
All right. So I don't even know the answer to this. But I suggest that maybe you do, but you can go get the confirmation of your answer. But I want you to give me your answer. What's the best educational move for you to eventually become a general contractor and fulfill that dream that you painted for all of us?
Oh, I already looked into, there's a program here in the community college. But then I also, like about a year ago, I sat down with a general contractor and I asked him if how he could give me advice or if he would be willing to teach me. And he said, yes, I just need to make some phone calls.
Right. So what did he say the education looks like?
He said that him and his brother started from working with his dad and then they moved up from there.
So they didn't go to college.
Their own company. No, they didn't go to college.
So do you think you need to go to college?
I don't think so.
All right. Check. We answered that one, didn't we?
Yes.
Now, listen, Joshua, if as you dive into this, by the way, I wrote a book on this called The Proximity Principle. You're essentially going to do what that entire book is about, which is start to hang out with this general contractor, and he's going to mentor you, and he's going to give to you wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge being know-how, wisdom, his opinion on maybe decisions you will make going forward. Do you see those two things, knowledge and wisdom?
Yes.
He's also going to be able to connect you to more people, yes?
Yes.
My man. And if there's any training you need, the GI Bill then pays for that.
Correct.
I'm pretty excited. Now, how does your physical disability play into this?
Well, when they first told me about it, I asked them if I can work still or if it's going to affect me earning as much. And they said, no, that it's totally impermanent and that's it. I can work and earn as much as I would like.
Come on, man. That's amazing. Okay, so what do we got left? What else do we need to answer? Because I think we answered the college question, and what are you doing for a living now?
Right now, I'm actually a postal employee. I'm a mail carrier, so great. I'm working that, and my wife's about to finish her bachelor's.
Great. So financially, you guys are stable, yes?
Yes, so we're in baby step two, but we're working through it already.
How much you got left?
We got, well, in a few days, if everything goes well, we will be selling our starter home, and we'd be down to $20,000.
Come on. All right. So your next steps, I'm going to give you my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, as a kind of accountability piece and an inspiration piece. Okay, that's my gift to you. You can tell Christian if you want the audio version, ebook, or good old-fashioned hard copy. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
I want you to read it to drive you because it's very specific on the people you need to be around, the places you need to be in. You got it?
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. Move forward. Take that guy up on it. You better have a lunch or coffee scheduled with him before the next 2 weeks. And if he can't do it in 2 weeks, you better get it done before the end of March. And that begins the process of learning for you and connecting. You got it? And then we get out of debt, we get emergency fund taken care of, let's go make a little extra money if we can by starting to do some side projects. Maybe you can do some stuff for him, you know, on weekends or nights. You just got to get the tool belt on, baby, and start doing stuff, right?
Yes.
All right, my man, and stay debt-free. Do not get sucked into the debt part of this. Maybe you get paid to do general contracting work for a while until you can start your own deal. But, man, I'm really excited for you. I think this is going to be great. Joshua, thank you again for your service. This is the American dream that we're witnessing. And, Joshua, you're living it.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.